Sickness, disease, tragedies of all kinds strike people of all ages, races, nationalities. It doesn't matter. All of these bad things happen from time to time to all of us. My name is Jeff Armbrester. I'm the pastor at Hamilton United Methodist Church. As I read through the readings for this week, the readings from the book of Job just would not let me go. It's certainly not one of my favorite books. In fact, it's one that I very rarely even read from. But with everything that's been going on in our world with COVID-19 and other illnesses and diseases that are constantly plaguing our lives, this book has spoken to me on a deeper level than it ever has. And so as I read through this book, through these chapters, I wanted to share with you just a few things that stood out to me. In the first chapter, we are introduced to Job through the heavenly court. God is very pleased with his servant Job because Job is a righteous man and he's blameless. But Satan is there in the court as well, and the accuser says that, well, of course Job is righteous. Look at how you've blessed him. He has no reason to not curse you, or he has no reason not to be good. And so the Lord decides to allow him to be tested. In chapter 1, the first test, he loses all of his possessions. All of his children are feasting together at the oldest son's home and are all killed in a violent, strong wind. All of his livestock and crops are stolen or killed or burned. When the news of all of this tragedy comes to him, in verse 20 of chapter 1, we read these words, "Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, 'I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin by blaming God." Chapter 2 opens up with another scene in heaven. This time, Satan comes again to accuse God's people, and the Lord again calls his attention to Job and how Job responded in a very positive way to those first tests. Satan replied to the Lord, "Tit for tat, skin for skin. You haven't allowed me to actually touch Job. Yeah, he's lost all of his possessions, but if I can touch him and he can suffer personal pain, he will turn and curse you." And the Lord allows Satan to do so. And we read that he is stricken with sicknesses, ailments, boils on his skin from his head to his feet. And as he sits scraping the sores with a piece of pottery, his wife comes to him and challenges him about his stubborn refusal to deny his integrity. And she says, "Just curse God and die." In verse 10 of chapter 2, Job replied to his wife, "Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" And again, there's this commentary, "So in all this, Job said nothing wrong." In some ways, the story could end right there. Job would be a wonderful example for us of how we are to respond to the difficulties of life. But the story doesn't end at chapter 2. If it did, we would still have more questions than it answers. But what follows from chapter 3 all the way through the end of the book are a series of speeches. There are speeches from Job. He has three friends who come to visit him, and when they hear what all has happened, and they're not convinced that Job is completely innocent. In fact, they're convinced that all of this tragedy has come upon him because of some sin or something in his life that he has failed to confess. But through all of these speeches, Job continues to maintain his innocence. However, Job does not maintain his innocence arrogantly. In these lengthy speeches or arguments, much like one would hear in a courtroom, Job declares his innocence, but yet Job struggles. He struggles with why these things have happened. He wants to know why God allowed these things to happen. The readings this week just take us through chapter 14, and in those chapters, the issue is certainly not resolved. In fact, it really doesn't get resolved until near the end of the book when the Lord begins to speak. But we won't jump ahead because I want you to read through these and struggle with these issues and these questions that Job raises. There are a couple of responses in the readings this week from Job that I would like to draw to your attention. In the first part of chapter 7, Job asks a very poignant question. Is not all human life a struggle? Yes, it is. To varying degrees, human life is a struggle from the moment we are born until the day we die. And yet we know from personal experience and the experiences of others that not all struggling is bad. In fact, much of it is actually beneficial. It makes us stronger, stronger in our character and our faith. It makes us stronger physically, mentally, emotionally. We know that there are benefits to struggling. And so Job reminds us that all of life is not just to be peace and rest and joy, but yes, there are times of struggle. There are times when life is not easy. And yet those are the times when we benefit the most from life. In the 9th chapter, Job speaks again. And again, he's declaring his innocence, but yet he also wonders how in the world he could actually declare his innocence to God. In fact, in verse 2, he asks the question, but how can a person be declared innocent in God's sight? In verse 14, he says, so who am I that I should try to answer God or even reason with him? Even if I were right, I would have no defense. I could only plead for mercy. And even if I summoned him and he responded, I'm not sure he would listen to me. Later on in that same speech, in verse 29, he gives a sound of despair. And so whatever happens, I will be found guilty. So what's the use of trying? Even though he believed himself to be innocent, he understood that through the holiness of God, that God knew his heart, knew his mind, knew his everything about him far deeper than Job understood himself. And that under the close scrutiny of a very holy and righteous God, there probably was something not so innocent within Job. But then beginning in verse 32 of that same chapter, Job declares, but God is not mortal like me, so I cannot argue with him or take him to trial. If only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together, the mediator could make God stop beating me, and I would no longer live in terror of his punishment. Then I could speak to him without fear, but I cannot do that in my own strength. As Christians, we believe and know that that mediator is Jesus Christ. Throughout the New Testament, we see that the Christian life is a life of struggle. James wrote about it, Peter in his first letter wrote about it, Paul wrote about it in many of his letters, and even Jesus told his disciples that they would be despised and hated because of their loyalty to him. In fact, they would even be persecuted because of their worship and following him. And yet we also firmly believe, especially through the writings of the New Testament book of Hebrews, that Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. He is our mediator. So like Job, when we are honest with ourselves, we know that we cannot defend ourselves before God, but we do have a mediator, Jesus Christ, the one who comes, the one who came, and the one who is with us every day. So these trials and sufferings that happen in our everyday life, we may never know the full answer as to why they've happened. But what we can know is that through Jesus Christ and through God, we will make it through those difficult times. For the greatest promise throughout Scripture, from beginning to end, is that God is with us. God is always with us, even in the depth of our pain. Almighty God, we are so thankful for that wonderful assurance of knowing that You are always with us. We don't always understand. In fact, most of the time, we don't understand why things are happening the way that they're happening in our lives, especially the times of struggle, of sorrow, of crisis, the times of sickness and illness. We don't understand those. You never promised that You would remove those things from our lives, but there are promises after promises that You will be with us. Thank You for being with us. Thank You for the example of Job and countless others who can inspire our lives when we enter into times of suffering and trial. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray.